So let's bring back then where he got involved. Whitey Bulger was very smart, but when he said this Roger Wheeler case will never go away, never, he was absolutely correct. They picked on the wrong person.
He was correct, and they chose Tulsa because, being in the Midwest, they didn't think we were sophisticated enough to deal with the mob hit, and they thought that it would go away in a matter of weeks or months.
So then let's talk about how Johnny Martorano comes to Tulsa, and he has an accomplice.
Johnny was told to pick Joe McDonald. They called him Joe Max. Joe was a top 10 fugitive at the time for a robbery of a post office for stamps. He had a really wild career as a Boston mobster and hitman, and he was beholden to Paul Rico because Paul Rico hit him out after he did a murder in Boston back in the 60s. Actually, well, I understand, hit him out at his home in Belmont. So Joe Mack says, yeah, I'll go with you. So they flew from South Florida to Oklahoma City in a time where you didn't have to present identification to get a plane ticket. You just walked up with the money and paid for it. They rented a car. They came to Tulsa, stayed at the old Trade Winds West Hotel, 51st and Peoria, and then scouted for several days for all the right things. They had guns shipped to them by Stevie Fleming via Greyhound bus. They picked up guns, including a machine gun. They called it a grease gun in case the police got in behind them, and they had to shoot it out with the police. They were professionals. They were very prepared. This is not something like, let's show up in Tulsa and look for a rock to bang this guy over the head. They stole a car. They got it planted and hidden so they could use it. And then they communicated back with Boston saying, hey, tell us more about Wheeler. They scouted Telex. They found a camera. They didn't feel comfortable that they would be in view when they did that. They had the word that he would be playing golf on that Wednesday afternoon. They found his car sitting on the backside of Southern Hills parking lot overlooking the lake out there. They sat on it for a couple hours. They went and got the stolen car. They put on beards and wigs and armed themselves. They had a description that came from Paul Rico describing Wheeler's general size and weight, build, and the fact that he had a ruddy complexion. And Martorano said, man, I knew with that complexion, that absolutely proved that it came from Paul Rico, because he goes, all the years I've been around, I've never heard anybody describe ruddy other than cops describing somebody as ruddy. You know, I kind of chuckled with that because that's true. So Wheeler comes walking out. After four, walking to his car, Johnny gets out of the passenger side. Once he sees Wheeler committing to that car, and then as Wheeler gets seated, he opens the door, fires one shot. The gun falls apart. It's a faulty revolver. He had a little .38 revolver. The gun fell apart, which really upset him. The live rounds fell to the ground. He kind of trots back to the car. They went out. They dumped the stolen car, got back in their regular car, went back to the Trade Winds. Sawed up the gun, dumped it somewhere in the river near 51st and Riverside.
Arkansas River.
Yes, sir. Right. And then drove downtown to the bus station. They had repackaged the machine gun and the other tools that got sent out here and sent them back to Boston under the name of Joe Russo. Then they drove to Oklahoma City, returned their rental car.
What kind of a car?
I believe a Ford. Returned the rental car. Bought a plane ticket to Fort Lauderdale, and life returned to their normalcy.
Are there witnesses at Southern Hills?
There's 11 witnesses, ranging from a lawn crew guy to kids at the swimming pool and other people. They all had an array of descriptions. Everybody saw something a little bit different, one thinking he might be Cuban, he might be black. He was well tanned from South Florida. Consistently, the tag was a tag that we could never locate. Sam Tom 5107, it's an Oklahoma tag from Stevens County. We couldn't actually physically locate that car. The car had changed hands two or three times, not re-registered, maybe went through a wreck. Somehow they got that tag. I don't know how they got that tag. I never pinned it down.
It was the car they had stolen.
Well, they had stolen the car, and they replaced the tag on that car with another tag.
We don't know how they came up with that tag.
You know, that was one thing he couldn't recall exactly where they got that tag. Sometimes in a criminal act, it intersects with other criminal acts, and it's like, well, these guys were stealing something that had already been stolen, so it's hard to figure out how it happened.
About the guardhouse at Southern Hills, that apparently wasn't tended to when Johnny Martorano and Joe McDonald came through the gate?
The guardhouse, I believe, was slightly in existence, frequently unattended. So that day, the guardhouse was not an issue. It was free access to the place. But going back to 1981, I don't recall a guardhouse then. So it was either unattended or just non-existent.
When we talk about witnesses, this is when then you are very much involved then, aren't you? You're talking to these witnesses.
We're interviewing the witnesses. We're taking them downtown for interviews with the detectives that were down there. We're trying to sort the witnesses out, keep them separate, you know, all that police stuff. It worked out very well. Ironically, one of the 11-year-old girls that was a really good witness was at the swimming pool. She was the daughter of a successful businessman, but was also an ex-FBI agent. Those little ironic little twists and turns that you don't really understand till 20 years later. This had a serious effect on a lot of people's lives, including a couple of those witnesses. This stayed with them for a while. And the fear of the powers that can reach out to somebody. They reached out to Oklahoma. That was powerful right there. Invaded Southern Hills. That was really ballsy.
Were you feeling then, as you talked to the witnesses and so forth, these aren't local people doing this?
Well, I didn't think it was local people, but I didn't have a clue. For a 25-year-old guy that lived, ate, drank police work 24 hours a day, and in between police work, I was either in a gym or chasing a woman. Telex, what's that? World High Life, I couldn't even spell it. So I knew it was way out of the ordinary, and I knew I wanted to be involved.
How much did Johnny Mortarano get paid for killing Roger Wheeler?
Well, that's funny. Johnny's a loan shark, so his math is different than conventional math. I think there were around $50,000 worth of expenses before it was all over. He didn't save receipts, though, so it's hard to come up with the expenses. He claims he didn't profit a penny. When you try to pin a loan shark down on some financial information, it gets like trying to squish a worm. It's pretty hard to do.